If you gotta start somewhere, why not here? If you gotta start sometime, why not now? If we gotta start somewhere, I say here. If we gotta start sometime, I say now. Through the fog, there is hope in the distance. From cathedrals to third world missions, love will fall to the earth like a crashing wave. Tonight.
Thank you for joining me today. I'm so happy you're here, and I have a great, powerful show today. So I want you to stay tuned for the next 15 minutes because God has such a powerful word that's going to revolutionize and change your life and encourage you. And so stay tuned for the next quarter hour. You can always reach me by going to my website, AmberMayShow.com. AmberMayShow.com, all my information's right there, and you can reach me. Today I have a great guest. I have Yvonne Bashara. She's joining me this week, and she's the First Lady of First Arabic Baptist Church, but I've always known her to love God and have a lot of knowledge and be very good at explaining things that she feels God put on her heart. And so that's why I wanted to ask her to come on, because I just love her teaching, and I love that she loves God so much. So welcome to the program.
Well, we want to say hello to everyone across the face of the world and say we love you.
Absolutely. You know, we look at the world today and it looks like we're in shambles. And we just heard about, well, we remember how there was a shooting that took place in Colorado when people went to go see the movie. And we know that our economy here is not stable. And we know that the borders aren't secure. People don't feel safe in their own country. And you go across the seas and you have Israel trying to fight Iran because Iran wants to take over and wants to get rid of Israel. And you have Syria and you have all kinds of problems all over the world. You know, it wasn't that long ago where England had raids and buildings were blown up and fires and all kinds of stuff like that. And if you live in Britain, you remember that happened a couple of years ago. And so you just like look back and you're like, what's going on? And how do I deal with all this stuff? And where is God in all this? And you feel unsettled. You feel uneasy. You don't know. You have no control. As you become an adult, you realize you have less control. You think when you become an adult, you're going to have more control over your life. And you realize that the economy is in control because you have your government officials running it. You have your bankers running the economy. You have people in government making laws. And really, you don't feel like you have a lot of power. And you feel like, what do I do from here? How do I protect my family? And so I asked Yvonne to come on board to give us some hope. And to figure out where's God in all this. And I'm going to give it to you for now. Where is God in all this? What has God put on your heart to encourage these people to realize that, yes, things look bad, but hope is not all lost?
Where is your hope? Did you give up? Did you say, where are you, God? What are you doing? What's happening? Is evil going to win? Is evil always going to conquer? Lord, aren't you strong? Aren't you the strong man? Don't you care about us? Have you had those questions? Have you had those thoughts where you live in your country, in your home? Well, I have. And we don't give up. And we don't give in. And we do have a hope. And that's what this is about today.
That is what it's about today. And what I'm going to start out with saying is when the people in the Bible felt like there was hardships, God provided for them. When it looked terrible, how are they going to take care of themselves? How are they going to get food? God was there for them, and God heard them. And I want to start out with 2 Kings 4, 1 through 38. And we're talking about this woman who was a widow. And back in Bible times, if you were a widow, you were really poor because the men were the ones who brought the money and the food and all that. And if you were a widow and you didn't have sons, then you were in a really bad place society-wise. So here's this widow, and I'm going to read it to you. It says, "The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha." Elisha was a prophet in the Old Testament. "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he reverenced the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my boys as slaves." A lot of us are in debt. Have you ever felt like that, where the creditors just keep calling, you have no money, and they start taking your stuff away? Well, that's how she felt, except this time her boys were going to go into slavery over it. So imagine you're a mom and that's happening, and how fearful would you be? And he was on his way. It was only going to be either that day or that week. It was imminent. It was really soon. "Your servant has nothing." Elisha said, excuse me, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except for a small jar of olive oil." Elisha said, Go run and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask them for just a few. And then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put one to the side." She left and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars, so she kept pouring the olive oil. Now, I want you to think about this. I had June Volk on a few weeks ago, and she wrote a book, The God Who Answers by Fire. This happened in the Old Testament, but this also happened to her in real life, in modern day. So if you want to hear her story, go to her website, The God Who Answers by Fire. So she left him, shut the door behind her and the sons, and they brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her sons, "Bring me another one." But they replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what's left." So here this lady was going to have her kids in slavery. She had no money, and God provided for her. That was a miracle. You only had, let's say she had one full jar of olive oil, and it was a miracle that God kept replenishing the olive oil for her so she could keep her sons, and they wouldn't be in slavery, and they could live off the rest of the money. In 1 Kings 17, 7, and 16, we have another similar story with a widow. And this time, it's Elijah. Elisha was the protege of Elijah. They're both prophets. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Now, if you live in America, you realize that we've been going through a drought. And if you live in Africa or you live in other places, you can relate to how this community was feeling, because can we make the rain fall? Absolutely not. It's out of our hands. So what happens when the land doesn't have rain? Well, you don't have enough water to fill your farms. And then can your crops grow? No. If your crops can't grow or the grass doesn't grow, does your cattle or your animals have anything to eat? No. So it's a very dreary situation. So there was no, the brook dried up, there was no rain in the land, and the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and sit there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food." So he went to this place, and when he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I can have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he yelled, "And bring me a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour and in a jar, and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take it home and make a meal for myself and my sons that we may eat and die." You think that's really going to happen? You think the God of heaven, the God of mercy, the God of love would look down on people that really loved him and let them perish because there was no water? You know, I remember a Bible verse that says that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. So when us as people, as a big nation, that's what the song was about in the beginning of the show, we have to be just and we have to be a city on our knees, because by us doing what God wants us to do, we bless even the unjust. But when there's so much sin and so much immorality in the country, and where people are just doing what they think is right in their own eyes, then how can God bless us? It's, if you go into that path of immorality and you just think about yourself and the selfishness and the greed, that just leads to more and more disaster, because it's just the opposite of God's blessing. Not that God stops blessing, but it's when you go down that path, it's the opposite of what God wants you to do. And how can he bless you when you're not doing the will of him, or when you're not following his roadmap? Just like your parents, if your parents say, I don't want you to do this, and you do it, you think they're not going to have consequences on you? Your coach are going to have consequences. And that's why it's important for us as believers, and if you're not a believer, to get right with God, because the rain falls on the just and the unjust. But something was going on here, and he dried up the water. And Elijah said, don't be afraid. Always, God will always tell you that. Don't be afraid. I think that's his motto, because we are fearful, because we don't have control over the rain, over the finances, over the economy, over government. We don't have any control over this, but God says, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me, and you have to bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, the jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, keeping in the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Now, I wanted to tie something in, because I'm going to throw it back at Yvonne. What did both of these women have in common? The thing they had both in common is the men of God told them to do something, and they both did it. And in obedience, something happened, because God knows what he has in store. God knows he has a plan and a purpose. If you cry out to him, he's going to answer you, but you have to be obedient. If he tells you to go to a river that, or a stone, and tell it to turn into water, or if he tells you to just fill your jug of oil, it sounds impossible. It sounds like it can't happen. But if he's telling you to do that, obviously he has something in mind for you. So it's obedience to what God is directing you to do, right?
And as you said, fear paralyzes us. And these people were fearful. But when the man of God spoke to them, they acted. If you're paralyzed, if you have fear right now in your country, in your home, in your place that you live, you need to act. You need to break away from that fear. You need to act. You need to listen to the word of God, and you need to follow it. And then you will have provisions. God will provide for you. And we want to talk about also in the Bible days of the Old Testament, there was a king, and he had 127 provinces, and he had possessions from India to Ethiopia. He was very powerful. We have powerful people today in the world, and they're taking advantage of people all the time. And here was a man that had a large area that he possessed. And he had a queen, and he had a banquet. And the queen would not come out to him when he called, and she wouldn't obey him. And so he got very upset, and he got rid of the queen. And they said, we're going to have a law now that all wives will honor their husbands, both great and small. And let's find more virgins and find a new wife for the king. So they had beautiful virgins come, and one of them was Esther. And Esther was from the Jewish background, and she was taken into the king's palace and put in charge, the custodian of women in this house. And the thing about Esther was, she pleased him and she obtained his favor.
Now that's not the conclusion of the show, because you have to tune in next week to hear the continuation of what we have to share with you. And remember, instead of thinking about number one, just yourself, think about number two, somebody else, because eventually number two will look out for you.